Hi, I'm Chief Mike Force, and you're listening to the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Green Gab Podcast, a place to gab with people rocking it in green. Green homes, green living, green companies. Join Marla Esser-Close, green home coach and author of Living Green Effortlessly, Simple Choices to a Better Home, and Tony Pratt, the director of builder relations at The Sound Room. Here are your hosts, Marla and Tony.
The Green Gab Podcast at St. Louis Home and Garden Show. And we have had amazing people through this booth. And I know if you've been listening to some of these, you keep hearing that. But it keeps happening.
Well, they keep getting better and better.
I know. We go talk to people around the show. And we're like, oh, you got to come on to the podcast. And then we have to find a spot when people can take a break and come talk to us.
Yes, but, you know, the marathon is almost over.
I know. And it's been a great marathon.
It has.
I finally had a moment to stop at the booth, literally catty corner from us.
We can see them from here.
I know. Seed Geeks. Yep. I love your name.
Thank you.
And this is Angela. Introduce yourself, please.
Hi, I'm Angela Adler. I'm co-owner of Seed Geeks. It's a company that my husband, Mark, and I started about 4 years ago.
How do you guys came into being and what you do?
Oh, well, it actually happened very naturally. It was a gradual process. My husband and I met in 2009. Our first date was actually to see the documentary Food, Inc. And we had no idea at the time that that was going to be such a foundational documentary for our lives going forward. But it really had us questioning where our food came from. And so the first year that we were together, we started growing a lot of our own food. We converted our whole backyard into gardening space. And that led us into getting chickens the following year, doing canning, getting bees. We kind of called the garden like the gateway to the urban homesteading life. And so we started saving our seeds, you know, because there are all these fantastic varieties out there. And we wanted to be able to preserve those. And it just kind of blossomed into this company eventually, which is Seed Geek. So we do all heirloom open pollinated seeds.
What does that mean, open pollinated?
Open pollinated,
I'm still learning how to be a gardener.
Yeah, no problem. Open pollinated seeds, just really simply, it means that they're pollinated by wind or by insect.
Okay.
So they're pollinated naturally.
Gotcha. And what's the benefit of that?
The benefit is that those seeds can be saved and grown again. The open pollinated seed, they'll grow true to type the next season. So you can save those and pass them on generation to generation. And after they've been handed down for about 50 years, that's what makes those open pollinated seeds heirlooms.
I didn't know that.
So really, it just kind of perpetuates nature's life cycle.
Exactly. And it preserves the biodiversity of a lot of these different varieties. I mean, we used to have so many more varieties of potatoes and carrots and over thousands of varieties. And now we're seeing a huge decline in that biodiversity. At staggering rates. So we really want to help encourage people not just to grow their own food, but also to save their own seeds.
And so you sell seeds, obviously, and name a few of your favorite varieties that you carry.
Oh, it's so hard. There are so many. I think probably our favorite tomato is the Cherokee Purple. I know that's a lot of people's favorite tomato, but there's a reason for that. It's this gorgeous heirloom. Over a pound usually.
Oh my gosh.
That's
beautiful.
A tomato.
Yeah, it's a serious tomato. It's great sliced.
Wow.
It's got this nice purple tone with green shoulders. It's gorgeous. Really rich flavor.
Yum.
So
I can't wait for my tomatoes. Oh my gosh. It's my favorite part of summer.
That is, yeah.
Fresh tomatoes, a little mozzarella, fresh basil out of the garden. I'm in heaven.
There you go.
I know.
You know, it's funny, too, because, you know, you said the tomato, it's purple.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's thoughts of when they think of tomatoes, red.
Yeah.
Once again, these are the things, I guess, that were more commercially appealing.
Exactly.
And that's why those seem to be continuing, where all the other species are kind of going by the wayside.
True. And, I mean, there's nothing... There's no comparison at all in flavor between that you're going to get at the store and something that came right out of your own backyard. Those homegrown tomatoes, nothing like it.
Well, and the pride in growing them. And I'm not much of a gardener, but I bought these grow boxes that had the water wells in the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And I could grow stuff. And it's like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, they just need to find the right setup for them. Mm-hmm. And we really like to help encourage new gardeners too, and have them try new seeds and new varieties. And I think there's something that everyone can be successful with.
So are your seeds specific to our locale, or will they work anywhere in the United States?
The majority of our seeds are very well adapted in general, but we do tend to focus on varieties that are very well adapted to our region. We grow a lot of the seeds ourselves. We also work with a lot of regional farmers for our seeds. We're up to about 400 varieties now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a lot over in the booth, but I didn't realize there were that many.
Yeah, really.
If people want to order online, can they?
Absolutely. Yeah, all of our products are available at seedgeeks.com.
And then do you also sell through stores or anything in the Missouri area, or how does that work?
Yeah, we do. We're in about 20 retailers around the St. Louis area, and that's all listed on our website, too.
I love websites. You can just go one place and get it
all. It's just so much easier.
When people are starting seeds, like I've not grown from seeds yet. Mm-hmm. I've grown from seedlings. And I'm kind of scared of starting my own seeds. Mm-hmm. Do you provide advice and counsel for that?
Absolutely. In fact,
point me somewhere.
Yeah, that's one of our favorite parts about events like these, is because we get to talk to the people who are starting new gardens and they want to know what varieties are going to work best for them. So yeah, we're always happy to give advice for that.
That's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I also bought, I'm going to be in full disclosure, I bought these little fabric pots.
Grow bags, yeah.
Grow bags, thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell us about these. These are super cool, and I'm so excited because they'll pack flat for me to go home.
Oh, yeah, they do. They're fantastic. They're actually made out of recycled water bottles and then a blend of bamboo and jute. They're very lightweight, as you saw, and I think they're great because they're permeable, so they drain really well. And I think the problem that a lot of people have with container gardening is that their plants either dry out really quickly or they stay too wet.
Yes.
So with these bags, they just drain really well over time, and it's really easy to keep the plant healthier that way. They also air prune, which means, like, I don't know if you've seen when you take a plant out of a pot and the roots have started to spiral in a circle.
Yep.
So it won't happen in these bags.
Oh.
Because they're permeable, the roots go to the edge and they sense the air. And they stop. So you won't get that root-bound situation that you do with other planters, which also helps keep the plant healthier.
Interesting.
And then, of course, you can fold them flat at the end of the season and put them in the shed. You don't have to worry about all those terracotta pots full of spiders in the beginning of the spring, digging all those out.
Well, like my clay pots, I love the look and the feel of clay, but oh my gosh, they dry out so fast.
They do. Yeah.
And then the plastic ones, like you said, they stay really wet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always this balancing act.
Right. And then these also help keep plastic out of the landfills.
There you go. I love anything that uses our resources in a new way. And reuse and recycling is an awesome part of that.
Yeah.
And what else do you guys have over there? You have quite the booth over here.
We're also beekeepers. So we have a whole line of raw honey, as well as creamed honey and flavored creamed honey.
Mm.
We also like to do body care. I do a lot of handmade soaps, lip balms, lotion bars. So it started with really taking garden-inspired varieties.
Okay.
You know, we started with like four soaps, garden peppermint and carrot and calendula, and we grew everything for them. Now we have about 23 varieties of soap. I just love making it.
And I wish you could smell them on a podcast, because every time I walk past the corner of the booth, just get all these magnificent aromas from the soaps. And yeah, I switched over to handmade soaps years ago. Just actually, there was one in my neighborhood that was
nice.
A lavender farm, and they sold the lavender soaps.
Oh,
and I love them.
I think I might know where that is.
You might know where that is. But
so I want to know, how do you enjoy raising bees?
You know, I find it so fascinating and also so meditative. I tend to be a very go-getter, productive type of person, and you really have to slow down when you're working the bees.
Yeah.
You really have to take your time and kind of get in the zone with them and be very calm. And so when I'm out working hives, I feel like time stands still. I'm able to see what they're doing, observe them, kind of be with them. And it just really helps me to relax. And they're fascinating. They're so important to our environment.
Yep.
So
unintended consequences.
Well, indeed.
I don't know. Do you know Mark Teitelbaum?
Mm-hmm.
He's a beekeeper.
Oh, I did
not know
that.
That's his hobby. I guess a couple years ago.
Because he's definitely a go-getter.
A couple years ago, he needed some help kind of reorienting his house as far as his entertainment side of it. So we went over there and helped him out. He gave a jar of his honey to me and also one of our techs. Natural honey. Oh, stuff's phenomenal.
Yum.
But he was showing me around the hives and all that. And it was just phenomenal and fascinating to watch. And we'd be in the basement. It's like, oh, yeah, that's an old hive I had to take out of commission. I got to replace it, blah, blah, blah. I never would have painted him as a beekeeper.
That's crazy. So there you go.
Yep.
I appreciate you taking a few minutes with us, Angela. And again, tell us the website so if people want to find you and check out your heirloom seeds, mm-hmm. they can.
It's www.seedgeeks.com.
I'm just so happy to meet you here at the St. Louis Home and Garden Show. I hope it's been everything you wanted it to be.
It's been fantastic. This is our first year at the show, so we're really happy to be here. It's been a pleasure meeting you. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, you are so welcome. And kudos to the Home Builders Association here in St. Louis for putting on such an amazing show this
Absolutely.
Year.
Another great show.
Yeah, everyone has just been super complimentary this year and just really appreciate it. So thank you. And anybody that wants to hear this episode and any others, you can find us on iTunes or anywhere else you get your podcasts, as well as on our website, greengabpodcast.com. Once again, that's greengabpodcast.com. Thank you for rocking it in green.
Wouldn't it be cool if your advertising could last forever? It can with perpetual advertising. Here's how it works. Unlike TV or radio ads, where every instance the ads are broadcast, they're only played once and lost forever. Perpetual advertising can have repeat exposure and replayability weeks, months, and even years after they're inserted in a podcast. So even if a podcast is a few years old, your ads will still be impactful to repeat listeners, as well as new listeners. This gives your advertising dollar the most bang for the buck. Find out more about perpetual advertising at twoguystalking.com/sponsors.
Check out the book, Living Green Effortlessly, Simple Choices for a Better Home, to make simple changes to buying habits that affect a home both inside and out. Marla Esser-Close shows consumers ways to make any home a green home. Get the book now at livinggreenbook.com. That's livinggreenbook.com.
You can try and learn about voiceover all by yourself, or you can get you and your voice to school. Check out Voice Farmers VoiceOver Academy today and learn how you can make money with your voice. It's all available over at voicefarmers.com. That's voicefarmers.com.
We are thrilled to be talking to you from the Green Gap Podcast, and we are here at the St. Louis Home and Garden Show, podcasting live, which sounds kind of like an oxymoron because podcasts are recorded. But anyway, we're doing them on the show floor. And you and I met, what did we figure out, last summer at the Green Home Festival.
Yeah.
But talk a little bit about what Perennial is and what you guys are doing here at the Home Show.
Yeah, so we're a nonprofit all about creative reuse. So we teach people how to make new things out of old junk. We have a workshop in South St. Louis where we offer a bunch of classes that range from making rag rugs to building furniture from pallets to natural textile dyeing. And then we also provide outreach programs to women in transition. So we teach people that their creativity is a powerful tool to live sustainably and resourcefully.
I didn't know you guys were doing that. That is amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome. We have five area partners. We work with different social service agencies, do monthly workshops with their clients, and then also have time where their clients can come to our shop and work on independent projects.
Oh, wow.
So we're here doing workshops throughout the weekend about upcycling and repurposing, as well as selling. We have a line of DIY kits and tools that we make and sell to support our programs.
So I remember when I saw your workshop last summer, you were doing natural paints and stains. And I had no idea some of the things you could do, but you think about it, I guess people have been coloring things for hundreds and probably thousands of years since ancient times. So is that part of what you do, is kind of bring some of that kind of ancient craft back?
Yeah. When I first started Perennial, I was really interested in refinishing furniture. Was kind of how it came about, or reusing furniture I was finding in alleys. And when I looked at how I could repaint them and give them new life, I was trying to find alternatives to your traditional synthetic toxic paints. And at that time, I mean, it was like 2006, so not that long ago, there was very little on the market in terms
of what's available.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess.
So I just started looking at, well, like, what did people do before there were like chemicals in paints? And finding things like milk paints, recipes to make your own waxes, wood waxes from natural waxes, things like that. So we've carried on those recipes and teach people about how to use those materials today.
So what's your word of advice to people like me that are not real crafty, but I'm fascinated with the end result?
Yeah, take a class. Okay. because I think we hear that a lot. I would say the I'm not creative, I'm not crafty is one of the most common things that I hear, but it's definitely in everyone. And I think it just takes the right environment and the right teacher to bring it out. And there's some really basic skills that you can learn to do at our shop and get familiar with tools and processes that will get you thinking differently and feeling more confident to tackle any project.
I love it. I don't know if you're a member of the HBA or just are participating in the home show.
Yeah. So we are participating. They actually reached out to us about coming to offer programs during
for
the show. Yeah. So it
Sweet.
Was awesome. This wasn't even on our radar. So this is the first time we're here and, you know, really excited to be. It was a great opportunity because we're able to teach all these classes throughout the weekend.
So maybe the value you get from the Home Builders Association is getting to do the home show.
Yeah.
I love it.
And just meeting new people, because we definitely, you know, through our own sort of networks, whether it's through folks that take classes with us, through our board, through our staff. This is, I think, going to be a completely different crew than we normally might see at our local indie craft show or farmers market that we typically attend.
That is so cool. And I'm standing in their booth, or your booth. I don't know if there's a they to the your. And I'm just seeing so many cool ideas of things that have been repurposed. Like, here is, and I need bulletin board space in my house. So I'm looking at this strip of wood with half of wine corks attached to it somehow.
Yeah.
So you can pin stuff in it. And that's just such an easy
idea. Wine corks are like...
And I have a ton of them.
Exactly. We hear that all the time. It's like, oh, do you need wine corks? I have a ton of wine corks. And it's such a nice material to just throw away that you can reconfigure them into lots of different projects. And we have so many smaller upcycled crafts like that bulletin board, even just small notebooks made out of, you know, cereal boxes and scrap paper. T-shirt yarn is something we use a lot. So the scarf that's made out of strips of t-shirts that have been pulled, and it kind of rolls into this nice cord. So from smaller projects to larger things like this table or that wall art made out of lath, a birdhouse, there's tons of projects that we teach. And all of these are samples of stuff that you can learn in our programs.
So for our listeners that aren't in St. Louis, can they go to your website and get some ideas too?
Yeah, not only ideas, but we have an online shop where you can purchase our DIY kits. And so those kind of package up some of our classes. Like, we have a rag rug kit. So if you can't make it to St. Louis to take the rag rug class, you can learn with Teresa. When you get that kit, you get links to online videos. So you'll learn how to crochet, how to make yarn from bed sheets, and start a rug. And then we also have some natural textile dyeing kits and all of our tools as well. So crochet hooks, knitting needles, we make all those from salvaged furniture parts.
Okay, you're getting me motivated here. I love it. Okay, well, I'm kind of like thinking I need like a hands-on project. Once I get my yard planted, right?
that's my current project as well. People always ask, like, oh, your house must be so like full of repurposed things. And I'm like, have you heard the cobbler's children have
I'm
no
so
shoes sort
you.
Of a thing? There's lots of half-started projects. Right now I'm going to build a window fence, a fence made out of windows in the middle of my yard.
You have to send me pictures.
Yeah. Well, I'll let next 2 years from now when it's done, I'll send you.
So, Jenny, tell us again how we can find you, and especially the online courses, too.
Yes. You can find us through our website, which is perennialstl.org. And perennial is one R and two N's.
There you go. And if you're in St. Louis, you can visit your workshop at...
Yeah, we are at Broadway in Chippewa. So it's 3762 South Broadway, just a little south of Cherokee Antique Row, right where Jefferson intersects with Broadway.
And for non-St. Louisans, it's a really cool little fun area of town.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, thanks for taking a few minutes with us. And I'm having a lot of fun following y'all's progress. So
Thanks. Keep
it up.
Yeah, thanks for talking with me.
Cool.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Green Gab Podcast. And for joining us on our own personal green odyssey as we change the world one Green Gab podcast at a time. What did you learn about during this episode? Tell us now by visiting our website at greengabpodcast.com. And remember to connect with us via iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter.
Links to do all of this are at our website, greengabpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, but more importantly, thanks for rocking it in green.